given us the hope of eternal life with him. And for that, we are forever grateful, Lord God, and we give you thanks. Speak now, Lord God, as we go through this Lenten season. Speak a word of hope, a word of love, a word of peace, a word of unity. Speak, Lord God, for we need to hear from you in our own lives, in our churches, and in the nation. Speak, Lord, for we're listening. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts who are gathered here and who are listening online and wherever, let all of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord God. For you are our refuge, you are our strength, you are our fortress, you are our redeemer, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so today we have the first Sunday in Lent. The first Sunday in Lent. We began our Lenten season on Ash Wednesday. Wednesday passed, and today is the first Sunday in Lent. And for those of us who are liturgical, we will count these Sundays until we get to that great getting up morning. Fare ye well. Fare ye well. Not going to do that yet. We have a time to go, Nancy. The great getting up. You know that song from the South? Great getting up morning. Fare ye well. Fare ye well. They should do that song in here one of these days in a choir, right? Amen. An old Negro spiritual. Great, you know, it's that great getting up morning when Jesus, right, you know, when Jesus is risen. But we're in Lent, so we're going to hold our anticipation and our excitement because we have work to do in Lent, right? Just as we carefully prepare for big events in our personal lives, such as a wedding or commencement, Lent invites us to make our hearts ready for remembering Jesus' death and resurrection, writes one pastor. It is therefore my prayer that as we get ready for Lent, as we ready ourselves for Lent, we will ready our hearts over the next 40 days of Lent. And that these series of studies we'll be doing will give us a fresh reminder of the truth we need to continually speak to our souls, say Timothy Keller. You see, I would like to propose to us that Lent is a season wherein we look in the mirror. Lent is a season where we individually look in the mirror. We don't look at someone else, but we look in the mirror to see what needs to be fixed in us. Amen, friends? You know, normally, there's a little mirror here, a little bit of glass, and every now and then I look up, and as I'm preaching, I see my own reflection, and guess what? Like I just saw it now, and I fixed my collar. It tells me that something is wrong with my collar, right? Or I see it and something is crooked every now and then, you may see me go like this. Because I look in the mirror and something looks crooked. Amen? Lent is that time when we're going to spend time looking in the mirror, friends. We're going to be doing this, looking at ourselves and seeing what needs to be fixed and cleaned up and touched up by the Holy Spirit. And not be concerned about everybody else. Because if we are looking in the mirror on ourselves, what would happen? It'd be less problems in the world, wouldn't it? Amen? Because we'd all be fixing ourselves. As scripture says, we should take the log out of our eyes before we take what? The spot out of somebody else's. Amen? And so, also, I heard something the other day. I was reading something and the gentleman talked about the ballast stone, which I really didn't know anything about, so I was Googling ballast stone. And a ballast stone, I'm going to simplify it, is a stone or stones that they put in the center of a ship, you know, where cargo is being carried on, to balance it so what, it doesn't capsize, and you know what would happen, people drown, they lose the cargo. So the ballast stone is put in the center. Lent is a time wherein we need a ballast stone to center us so we don't capsize. And that ballast stone is the Holy Spirit that works in us. It's God Himself. We need that ballast stone in our souls that's going to what? Center us and keep us from capsizing. Amen? Keep us from going too much to one side. And now you could ask the Lord, it's spelled B-A-L-L-A-S-T, ask the Lord for your own divine ballast stone, right? God, I'm giving you a new word. God gave me a ballast stone, right? That will keep me balanced. You know, when I'm rocking a little bit, you know, I'm rocking too much to one side. Give me the ballast stone that centers me. Yeah, that's right, Nancy, that moves me. Because if I move so much to one side, I'm going to keel over. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's what Lent is all about, giving that to us. And so therefore, we'll be using the Psalms as our main scripture, main thematic scripture, to look at what we should be doing through Lent and look at it differently, because Lent is really about us. It's not about Jesus. We're going to draw closer to Jesus. We desire to do that, but Lent is about us. Us confessing our sins, us repenting, us changing. It's about us. Sometimes I think people believe that they're doing Lent for Jesus. Jesus doesn't need anybody to do Lent for him, because he was sinless and he's Savior and Lord. Amen? So we need to refocus to understand Lent is about us, what we are going to do during Lent. And so these seven sessions on the Psalms will be a prayer of confession, which is today's sermon, and then prayer of seeking, prayer of thirst, prayer of rest, prayer for the world, prayer for the king, and prayer for security. Seven series, as I'm doing this teaching through the Redeemer Church, I saw it, and I will again put my own spin on it, but we will be looking at these Psalms. So today is a prayer of confession. Amen? Prayer of, and that Psalm that we're looking at, it is called a penitential psalm, a psalm of penitence, right? A penitential psalm, it's a psalm of contemplation and confession. So the sermon title is a prayer of confession. Amen? Oh, now, okay. A penitential psalm or a psalm of confession is a name given from very early times to the Psalms, which are especially expressive of sorrow and sin. These Psalms are especially expressive of sorrow and sin. The name belonged originally to the 51st Psalm, which I'll look at in a bit later at the end, which was recited at the close of daily morning service in the primitive church. And we know the 51st Psalm. You know what it says. When I get to it, you'll know. This psalm is one of the seven penitential psalms, as it focuses on the former sins of the psalmist. This psalm focuses on the former sins of the psalmist, right? The psalm itself is not a prayer of repentance, but a confession of sin that has taken hold of the psalmist, and now the psalm feels sorry about that. Now, before we can even look at this psalm, we must admit that sin is real. Friends, do we believe that sin is real as Christian believers? Because if we live in a world that we no longer, everything goes and what I do is right, what you do is right, then there's no sin, right? So there's no reason for Jesus coming into the world. There's no reason for, you know, us asking for forgiveness. There's no reason for confession if we don't believe in sin. But in a religious context, sin is a transgression against divine law. Sin is a transgression against divine law, against God Himself. Amen? Each culture has its own interpretation of what it means to commit sin. While sins are generally actions any thought, word, or act considered immoral, selfish, shameful, or harmful, it alienates us from God. Sin alienates us from God, separates us from God. Amen? But thank God we have a forgiven God, right? And so in Christian views, it's an evil human act which violates the rational nature of humankind as well as God's nature and his eternal law. And so now we are going to look at Psalm 32. And I want you to, as we peruse this psalm, I want you to listen to it and the words, right? The first verse, first and second verse, is a commitment to repentance. David, who is the psalmist, they do not tell us in Psalm 32 what David did at that moment, what he could have done, but he knew he did something against God. And we know when we have done something outside of God. And remember now, sin doesn't always mean that we burn a building down, right? Sin doesn't always mean that we take up guns and shoot somebody. Those are sin, but we have other sins that we do. We know them. We don't have to. There's no confession here today. You don't have to confess to me because I'm confessing my own sins to God. Amen? You can confess it to the Lord. But here's what David says. Here's what we have to do first and foremost during Lent. He said, I like the word blessed instead of happy. Right? So I will change it to the NIV blessed. He says, blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So let me explain. How are our sins covered? Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. The psalmist knows that his sins are covered. And who covers our psalm? Jesus Christ has covered our sins. Do you understand? He became uncovered so we could be covered. Amen? Jesus would become uncovered on the cross so that we would be covered. That our transgressions would be forgiven when we go to the Lord. So the psalmist realizes and says, blessed are those who understand that their transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is covered. And blessed are those who the Lord imputes. Imputes mean assigns. No iniquity and in whose spirit there's no deceit. That means when your sins are forgiven, the Lord does not assign any punishment on you. Right? And that has happened because of Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, would not sin, but would become sin for us so that we can have the hope of eternal life. So we are blessed because our sins have been covered. And it's been covered by the blood of Jesus. So the psalmist begins there. Psalmist begins by recognizing that he knows that he's blessed. And then this psalmist is an Old Testament psalm, but he knew that his sins were covered by God. Right? And he's not taking it for granted. Are you with me? And we see in the gospel where Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned, right? We see in that gospel that was read, the Mark gospel, it says he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts and the angels waited on him. Even though he was tempted, Jesus never sinned. We remember in the wilderness he would say to Satan over and over again, get thee behind me, Satan, right? Get thee, so he never sinned. So because Jesus never sinned, Jesus can cover our sins. Amen? He can cover our sins. And then it continues that he says to them, therefore come near and repent. In the same text, Jesus says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So we have to repent and believe the good news that our sins are covered by Jesus Christ. Therefore, blessed friends, blessed are all of us online and here whose sins are covered. Amen? By God. The third to the fifth verse says, now the psalmist talks about his distress. Because when we go to the Lord for forgiveness, we must be sorry for what we have done. Right? We got to be sorry for what we have done. The psalmist says, while I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as the heat of the summer. Then he says, then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So the first thing of confession is what? To admit your sin before God. To admit it. He says, then I acknowledge my sin to him. Friends, if you haven't acknowledged your sin to God, Lent is the time as you look in the mirror, as you get that ballast stone in the center of your soul, that we what? We admit and acknowledge our sin to God. He says, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So you see the stage of the psalm. It is called a psalm of confession, a prayer of confession. And then in verse 6, he goes on, you are my hiding place. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. Because the psalmist realized that his sins are forgiven, so he cries out to God, you are my hiding place. Amen? That God is our hiding place. He is a shelter of our rock. We could hide in him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. The Lord will preserve us from trouble when we confess our sins to God. And you surround me with glad cries of deliverance. That's why we're blessed, and that's why we're happy. And then the psalmist says, he says, then I will go teach folks. I will teach people your way. I will go teach your way to those who do not know. Amen. Right? He says, I will go. I will tell them. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. That we should not be like mules, stubborn. When the Lord is working in us and through us and working it out for our good, we should relent. We should what? Submit. We should surrender before God. Lent is a time where we surrender our will and our way. Amen? We go before God. And then in verse 10, he says, be glad. He says, and many of the torments of the wicked, there are many torments of the wicked. Those who do not do what the Lord says will have many torments. But God's steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Those of us who trust in the Lord, his steadfast love will surround us, and because we know that we are forgiven. And because of that, the psalmist ends, he says in verse 11, he says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. That all of us who are upright in heart, who have sought God, who knows that the Lord has forgiven our sins, who knows that our very sin has been imputed unto Jesus, that we should have been dead, but we are not because of Jesus Christ. That we should not have hope of eternal life, but we do because of Jesus Christ. We can be happy, and certainly we are blessed. And so we remember in the gospel that Jesus, when he was coming up out of the water, they says the skies, the heaven was torn, and a voice came from heaven and says, you are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Now listen to this. God would send his beloved son to die for you and me. What kind of love is this? Songwriter says, love divine or love excelling. What kind of love is this? Why? Why did Jesus do that? Because God do that. Just as Jesus is beloved, so are we beloved by God. So just as Jesus is beloved, He is God's beloved Son, we too are beloved by God. We who are baptized in the name of Jesus are beloved by God. And that's why He would send Jesus to die for us. You are beloved. I am beloved. We are beloved by God. And when we sin against God, then we can do as David did in Psalm 51. A psalm we read on Ash Wednesday. When we know that we have sinned against a God who loved us so much that He would send His Son to die for us, we can then take this psalms. We all have a Bible. We don't have to know it by heart. We don't even have to know the words to say, friends, we could pray the psalms. Do you know it's called Lectio Divina, praying the Word of God. We don't have to know words. It has been done. Sometimes we can't have words to say. Not all of us are verbose or can say words and have big words to say when we're praying. But we've got a book called the Bible, and the Psalms are in there. And we could go to it and we can pray the Psalms. So here's a Psalm you could pray when you go to the Lord and seek forgiveness and confess your sin. David says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." My God, it's all there in verse 1 and 2, isn't it? We just say those words to the Lord. And then he goes on, "For I know my transgressions, I know it, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you alone, God Almighty, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." It doesn't matter what I've done to human beings. It's against you, God Almighty, have I sinned. When I've done something bad to someone else here on earth, I have done it against you, God Almighty, David says. He says, "Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence," that God is justified in His sentence, "and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me." And then he continues, "So you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart." And then he goes to the Lord. He says, "Purge me with the hyssop, and I shall be clean." Do you know what the hyssop is? The hyssop was a bitter, bitter herb that they used to drink. You know, they'd use it at Passover. I believe they had the hyssop, the herb. It's a bitter herb. So it is the image of being cleansed, right? "Purge me with the hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash me, Lord God, of all my sins. I have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, God. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities." Will you not blot out our iniquities, Lord God? And then I'll end with this. And then he says those words that we know, many of us know and say, "Create in me a clean heart." Don't we want a clean heart, friends? Oh God. "And put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit." Now, after you've read that psalm, it's longer than that, but after you've read those verses in sincerity before the Lord on your knees, friends, when you sit down on your knees and you read those words, you don't need to say anything else. You don't need to have anybody else's word. You just read the psalm. Pray the psalm. "Oh Lord God, create in me a clean heart. Lord God, won't you just renew a right spirit in me. Cleanse me with the hyssop so that I will be clean. Wash me, Lord God, from all iniquities. Do not cast me away from your presence, God, because I can't live without your presence, God. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Friends, pray the Psalms. Find the Psalms that means something to you. Psalm 32, Psalm 51, their Psalms, and others, Psalms of confession. As you confess before God during this time of Lent, and God will hear. Amen?
Amen.
God will not only hear, but God will listen. He says, call on me and I'll answer, and I'll show you new and mighty things that you do not know. He says, before you could speak it, I know it. And while you're speaking it, I'm already taking care of it. That's our God. That will forgive all of our sins. There is no sin that is too big that we cannot take to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And God bless you.
Amen.